Father, we just praise you and we thank you, Lord. We love you too. And it's a love that you've placed in us, Lord. And I ask that you increase that love for you in every one of us, Lord. That the love will just flow out of us, from you to us, to whatever's around us, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for that. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an exceptional night, because the Holy Spirit's going to be guiding us and leading us to whatever it is that you'd have us to talk about. I know we had an agenda, but we bow to your agenda. Whatever you'd like for us to talk about tonight, Father, that's what we want to talk about. And do or say or whatever it is, Lord. And I thank you for it. I thank you, Lord, for this awesome word that you've given us as a standard. And, you know, Lord, I was listening to this guy that went to up into heaven, and he compared some things with your love, and it was just awesome. And Father, I just thank you for that. And I thank you, Lord, for taking him up there and showing him around, letting him see the awesome wonders of your place up there, in our place, our resting place. And Lord, I just ask that you glory be poured out on all of us tonight, and that the things that we talk about would be to your glory, Lord. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to accomplish tonight through us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Pad here. All right, anybody got a prayer request? This is a prayed up bunch, boy. I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, Missy.
I just got done talking to my mom, and she told me that my mom and dad had surprise visitors today from Florida, and is the parents of my best friend when I was a kid growing up. And Gina is her name, is my friend, and my mom asked how Gina's doing, and her parents said that she's had problems with her feet off and on, and that she's really having a lot of problems with them. She's a year younger than me, but anyway. And so, they talked about church and everything and going to church and different stuff or whatever. And, you know, I don't even honestly know if Gina's really saved. But anyway, so I just want to pray for her. She has just one daughter. She's married. Father, I just, Lord, I haven't seen Gina since I had to think about it. And I'm pretty sure it was 2004, Lord. It was the last time I seen her, Lord. I've talked to her once, but Father, I just ask you, Lord, you know, that you would grant her repentance unto salvation, Lord. There's so many people that go to church, but just really aren't saved, Lord. And Lord, I just ask you to grant her repentance unto salvation and her whole household, and even her parents and her brothers, and just her whole family. And Lord, and I just ask you, Lord, to that she would know the truth of your word, Lord, about healing, that you're the healer, Lord, and that you don't work through man, Lord. Sometimes you do it in your mercy and your grace. Sometimes you allow healing. But Lord, I just ask you that she would just cry out to you and seek you, Lord, to be healed, and see in your word what it says, Lord, that Lord, you didn't use methods of doctors, Lord. You just commanded healing, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord, that she shall know the truth and the truth shall set her free. Therefore, if the truth sets you free, therefore, if the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed, Lord. And I just ask you to bring her to the full knowledge of the truth, Lord. And Lord, there's so many people. There's so many people out there. Lord, I pray that she is one of your elect, as well as her family, Lord. And I thank you for answering that prayer of faith, Lord. And there's so many people out there that, Lord, are going to get woken up here real soon, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that for your elect, your chosen, Lord, and granting them repentance. And I thank you, Lord, for, how to get each one's attention, Lord, in them. I just praise you and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Lord, we just believe it's done. Well, since she's done that, she brought up my old buddy, my bestest buddy, we called each other in school, growing up, all the way through high school and some through college, John Lofton Schaffner Jr. I lift up John to you, Lord. I know that I found out that he retired the other day from his farming operation and he's handed it over to his daughter. And Lord, I'm asking you, if you know how John is, I'm asking you, Father, to bring him to a point of repentance. And I'm asking you to grant repentance to John and his wife, Wendy. And I'm asking, Father, that you bring him in a mighty way. And I thank you for it, Father. I know he's had a hard-working man all his life. And I just ask, Father, that you do that for me and him and Wendy in the name of Jesus, because I know you're going to, Father, because we believe that when we pray, and we believe what we pray, we shall have it. I'm going to believe for John in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Did y'all ever have a bestest buddy in high school or in elementary school? You know, the boys would always hang around with each other, you know, put your arm around his shoulder and he put his arm around your shoulder and you walk around with your pistols on your side, you know, cowboy. That's the bestest buddy right there. But anyway, God's going to bring him in. Praise God. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother.
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Joe.
Monday morning, when I woke up, I did get a little bit of a headache. And I go through the day just before I left work. I was feeling really sick about the headache. The bad thing is, this is my worst headache I ever had. I can't think of ever had that bad. And I asked Michael to pray for me that Monday night. And about at 2 o'clock that morning, it was at 3 o'clock, just a little bit of it left, and then I did go to sleep again on and off and off. And yesterday morning, it was completely gone. It was the worst headache I've ever had. It was, you can't sit up straight, you can't lie down. But luckily, the Lord gave me some grace to finish this. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy on Joe. Amen. Okay, any more testimonies or praise reports or prayer? Yeah, Diane.
Well, last day I had asked you to stand with me in prayer regarding my daughter, Sharon. She got a report that she had a cyst on her breast and they wanted to send her to a plastic surgeon. And I told them, no, I want another opinion. Well, she saw another doctor yesterday, and her nurse case manager called me and said, Dr. Jones says it's fine. She does not need to go to a plastic surgeon. And if there are any problems down the road, she could go to a dermatologist. I just said, hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I thank all of you for standing in agreement. God is just wonderful.
Amen.
Thank you. Praise you, Lord. We are healed. We don't care what these doctors try to tell us. Your word says we're healed, and we receive it, and we believe it, and we thank you for it. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
Well, I have a praise report. It's been about 6 weeks ago. We prayed for my daughter and son-in-law's cat that had been really, really sick. And they spent a whole lot of money at the vet. And, you know, everything was really kind of inconclusive. And, but to cut to the chase, the Lord had given me a dream about 10 days ago that the cat was well. And I think it was that very morning that I had the dream, the cat was just better and he's back to normal. And I thank the Lord for that. And also the good work he's doing in Jenny and Casey through this. I think they're starting to see that doctors can't fix everything and you can't always figure everything out. And I know that through this, my daughter was praying and I see some real changes in her and Casey both. So I'm thankful and I want to thank the Lord for that and give him the praise and the glory. And I know cats are just cats. They don't have a spirit, but Odin said they go to heaven. So anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen. You know something, Marilyn, Brandy, I heard Brandy and David talking about that, about Casey this morning, how he's gradually listening. He's gradually getting this stuff, and he's starting to believe.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about it this morning. Brandy talks to him quite often.
Uh-huh. You know, Casey, if you ask him stuff, he'll talk to you, but a lot of times he just doesn't offer things. And we've kind of, you know, we pray for Casey and believe good things for him. And I've seen the Lord's hand on him and working in his life in really miraculous ways. Since he met our daughter, we've seen the Lord deliver him from amazing things. Yeah. And I believe really good things for Casey, but I appreciate everybody else's prayers too. And I know that the Lord is working both to will and to do his good pleasure there in both of them.
So, amen. He's been a blessing for us.
He is a very much a blessing. He helps us at the food bank every week. And if he's down there and people don't have a way to get home with their food, because we give them 80 pounds of food, and if they don't have a car, sometimes it's hard to get their food home. And he will always help people out. He'll always give them a ride and take them home.
Amen. That's good. Lord's working.
Yes, he is. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hey, Denny. Hi, Debbie. And cookies. I'm just kidding. Debbie brings us cookies about twice, two, three times, four, seven, six times a week. We wish. We just wish. I know she does. She brings cookies most a lot of time. Hey, Barbara. iPad Judy. What's going on, girl? Nothing. Well, let's see if we can change that. Praise the Lord. Anybody else got a testimony? Yeah, Leon, go ahead, brother.
Michael, did you get that email that I sent you about the submarines?
Yeah, I saw that.
Do you mind if I mention that? Maybe.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
There was a Russian submarine that caught fire off Alaska, somewhere off the shores of Alaska. They say it was in international territory, and like 14 people died. But there's also another report that says that there was a American submarine that was torpedoed and sunk. So we don't know which of those statements are true. And it says that the Russian sub was in American territorial waters. So we don't know which of those reports are actually true. If you saw the news today, Pence was called back from a place where he was going, New Hampshire, to speak. And then also at the same time, Putin was called back from an event he had for a while. And he was called back to the Kremlin, too, because of this submarine. But I just want to pray about the American.
That sounds like a deep state.
Yeah, yeah.
Incident.
Yeah, but I'd like to pray against the pray about the American submarine. If it's true, yeah. We don't know that it's actually true or not. But Lord God, I lift up that report about that submarine, Lord God. If this is true, they've lost, I don't know how many people, 25, 30, something like that would be a crew size.
Well, they said they lost 14.
Well,
and
that was
10.
The Russians.
Oh, okay.
The Russians lost 14, but the American sub was supposedly sunk, torpedoed and sunk.
It was unarmed, wasn't it?
What's that?
It was unarmed. It didn't have any armor on it at all. No guns or anything that I understood. It was an experimental sub.
That was the Russian one.
Okay.
That was the Russian one. It supposedly didn't have arms on it, but
I don't guess I heard the other one. I saw the other one. Okay.
Well, that was, well, it should have been all included in that report. But anyway, the Russian sub was said to be an experimental sub and research sub. So it didn't have any arms on it, but if the American sub got sunk, it definitely had arms on it. But anyway, Lord, if that's true, Lord, just bless those people that were involved in it. And if they didn't know you, Lord God, we pray for their souls as best we can, and we pray that that wasn't an actuality, that it didn't happen, Lord God, but that just a Russian sub was involved. And then if it was the Russians, we pray that the people that are left alive would turn to you for salvation. And just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for cooler heads prevailing here. Yeah. Okay, anyone else? Yeah, Matthew, go ahead, brother.
I got a testimony. It was Friday evening after work. I was getting ready for the meeting that night and the next day. And I went and stubbed my pinky toe on the corner of my bed, and I heard it crack about three times. And needless to say, it did hurt. But that evening, after we got back from the meeting, it was over 75% black and blue. And about twice its size. And so I was like, okay, honey, we need to pray for this. And so we prayed and agreed. Very next morning, I didn't have any pain. No pain whatsoever, and the swelling went down considerably, and the bruising was probably about half gone. So just praise you, Lord, for healing it in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord, for healing Matt's pinky.
I think that too. I just, the idea of what you went through doesn't even sound good to me.
I tell you what, when you do that on that pinky hurts. Now, it might be little, but it's got some pain nerves going through it.
It knows how to speak, don't it?
make a grown man cry, won't it, Matthew?
I just thought it was awesome that the very next day there was no pain.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
You could still tell it was, you know, messed up and stuff, but it, no pain.
Amen.
And right now, there's no bruising on it, and very, very little swelling in the fever. So.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah, go ahead, Missy.
I'd like to share something with y'all and then pray about it. I sent some of you an email about this. Well, that was part of the email. But anyway, Merle was talking to his best friend the other day. Long story short, the town that close to where Merle grew up, they have these creation concert gatherings, kind of almost like a Woodstock thing, except it's a Christian thing. I don't remember how long it lasts. It's either a long weekend or it's a week. I forget which. But anyway, they've been having them since 77, Merle said. And but the other day, there was a storm that took out a bunch of tents, and there were three people sent to the hospital. And Merle's best friend's been involved with helping out with this for years because it's a once a year thing. Anyway. they don't have just music. I think they have speakers and stuff too. But anyway, you know, Christian singers and speakers and stuff. But anyway, normally the attendance in this is at least 35,000. And this year the attendance has only been 12,000. And his friend said that he's sure that it was because last year there was a pastor that he knew very well was in prison for sexually assaulting some of the girls at this event last year. So, you know, I just gave me goosebumps when Merle told me about it. I said, Merle, we haven't seen nothing yet. We know, I keep hearing stuff about, it's not just in Catholicism, this kind of thing, this pedophilia and sexual immorality, and it's just, it's so sad, and I just, I want to pray for those girls, and pray for this pastor, for repentance, and just, Father, I just pray that you would grant this pastor repentance, Lord. Unto salvation, Lord. And I pray for these girls. I don't know how many girls or whatever, but I pray, Lord, for healing upon them and that they would truly know you, Lord, and that you use this, that the evil you would turn around for your good, Lord, in their lives, Lord. And just put forgiveness in their hearts. Help them to know and understand that they need to forgive, Lord, if they want to be forgiven, and even the parents of these girls, Lord. And Father, I just ask you, Lord, that anything like this that goes on, these big events, Lord, if there's this kind of thing going on a lot, Lord, I just ask you to to deal with these people, and even shut down the event, Lord, because Lord, so much of it's just entertainment, Lord. And but Father, I ask you, Lord, for your mercy and grace, Lord. Most of the time, or really all the time, your judgment, your discipline is your mercy, Lord, because without it, Lord, many people wouldn't even turn to you, Lord. I can even say that for myself, that without your discipline, there's things that I would have never repented of, Lord. You wouldn't have gotten my attention, Lord. And I just ask you, Lord, to just put the enemy to shame, Lord. I think we're all tired of seeing this, and we just ask you, Lord, that you would just do whatever it takes, Lord. We know you have some judgments coming. You have some things coming to judge the apostate system, Lord. And we just ask you, Lord, to help us all to be ready and be repentant, and just to seek you with all our hearts, Lord, so that we can have this Passover, Lord. And we just pray for your elect, Lord, that aren't woken up yet, that you would wake them up, Lord. And I just thank you and praise you for doing this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, bring all of that to light in the name of Jesus, Father. And I know you're going to. And we praise you for it, Father. You're going to disrupt this apostate religion in America and all over the world. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. He'll separate his people from those apostate religions shortly. He's doing it now.
Expose the wolves in sheep's clothing, Lord.
Amen.
Bring the darkness into the light, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. All right, anybody else? Testimony, praise report, a comment, anything.
Something.
Yeah, go ahead, Debbie.
Well, we prayed a week or so ago for a friend of ours, Darla, has been invited to come on, but I don't think she's not getting on, but she's really claiming her healing now. So thank everyone for praying for her. And she had an incident, and she had to go to the hospital, to ER, and somehow God intervened and touched her, and something was better than it should have been. And she just says that I'm healed. But I'm just really so thankful to the Lord that she's confessing her healing. That's a big thing for her. So thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for getting through to Darla. It's a whole lot cheaper when God does it. More thorough, too. All right, anybody else? Yeah, Missy. It's your last time. Just kidding.
I know. Like I told you earlier, I was talking to my mom, and she said she keeps asking the Lord, she's supposed to leave the 10th to go to North Carolina. My brother's taking her to go visit some family, and my dad's staying home. And she said she keeps asking the Lord, Lord, if it's not your will, I just ask you to show me or whatever. She says, but please don't do it at the last minute. So, Father, I just want to agree with her, Lord, that, Lord, if this isn't your will, Lord, that you just show her, Lord, give her a dream or something, or help her to know, Lord. I'm concerned. I know that you can take care of Dad, but I just don't like the fact that he's there by himself every night, Lord. I mean, in the natural, it's just not a good idea. There's a certain amount of faith, but then there's just, you know, using wisdom too, Lord. And I just, I don't feel good about that, being by himself every night. And so I just ask you to, if that's not your will, that you would show Mom. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your protection upon him in Jesus' name. Praise you, Father. Keep him right at the house. Go ahead, Sue. Sue G, coming up.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to add to that prayer for Missy's dad and mom. I thank you, Father, that if there's a reason for her to have to be away from him overnight and left alone, Lord, I pray that you would impress upon her or her children, her son or her son's wife or her daughter to spend the night there to help him, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? How many of you listened to that Odin Hedrick testimony? Okay, good. Good deal. I want to let somebody recommend we play a song before we do this. So I like the song, and it's called something or other. Hang on. Heaven Sings Along. So we'll do that first. It's just a nice little song.
Michael.
Yes.
Can you cut that down? It's usually
cut what
really
down?
Blaring loud.
You don't have a volume control on your PC?
Probably not. I probably do. I don't know.
Okay. I'll turn it down. If there's not anybody else that it bothers, you know.
I know I'm blessed. I'm being here. I can't worry about the rest. And I just can't wait. And I have a story, I have a song, and I'll praise you, Jesus, whatever may come. You go before me, and it won't be long till I share my story. Sings along. Oh, yeah. I'll praise you, Jesus, eternally long. I'll stand in wonder, stand at the throne, and I'll tell my story while heaven sings along. I'll tell my story, I'll sing my song, I'll praise you, Jesus, eternally.
Yeah, I like that song. Okay. Where'd I go? Okay, Odin Hedrick. There was one thing in it for me that was really, really telling. But I'm not going to reveal what that is just yet. What'd y'all get out of that testimony? What was the thing that you saw in that whole testimony that impacted you the most about his trips to heaven and the things that God showed him and told him? Well, y'all said you saw it. I know it's hard to recall everything, but was there anything that impacted you about the whole thing at all? You don't have to mow the grass up there. Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, there was one thing that he reminded me of from a very early time. And sometimes you forget about this, and it's to obey God is an extreme delight, how he put it. When the angels to go and want to do what God commands them, it's they go right away and perform this and do this. And I was thinking about this for a while, and it reminded me when I was standing in my garden in the middle of winter, looking up to the sky in the country, and I seen all the stars in the heaven. And you think of those passages in the Psalms there about when David was talking about talking to God, what he thought about him, you know, and you go and you look at this heavenly creation of all these stars, and you know they're like suns that are far away. And you just think of all the solar systems and planets that have to be there and everything that he's made. And this is spoken just by his word into creation. And this is why we should be so I was trying to find a word for it, and when I listened to it earlier today, extremely delighted was a word, a good word for it, but I couldn't think of something, so I just thought it was like really jazzed to get this done or accomplished, this obedience for God that can do such a creation with his voice, the entire universe, you know, and you really feel that delight for just to obey him. And it helps when you have to rejoice in tribulation and count it all joy when manifold temptations come to, and to get the final answer for, to get to the final end of that tribulation or that temptation in obedience, you know. That's what I was thinking of. There was a lot of other good things. Like I wrote lists of stuff here, but you know, and some of the portions where he gives verses to describe things too, and it was kind of eye opening to me and knowledgeable anyway.
Amen. Yeah, I like that part too. It actually goes into some of the part that I really liked about it. Just the explanation of certain things. What'd you think about the mansions? Did you remember he had one out in the country that was sitting on 10 acres? He said, and he described that. But then he said, then he talked about the one he had in town, in the Holy of Holies, and how it, that thing was huge. But he said the throne was in the center. It was a half circle, kind of like a half circle, and the condominiums around it. He said the throne was on 200 by 300 miles on a lake of sapphire. It looked like it wasn't a lake, it was a sapphire looking thing. He said you could remove that whenever you needed to do something else, but it was an oval shape, and the throne sat right in the middle of it, and everybody's had a window that faced the east or faced the throne. And they could see God. Everybody in there could see God on the throne at all time. And it's just, that was an awesome explanation too. Anybody else see anything notable in that testimony?
Barry had his hand up.
Did he? Oh, hey, Barry.
Yep. this kind of may sound funny, but he mentioned that everybody was having fun. And I guess that's what is kind of supposed to happen, but you read in Revelation about the people that don't leave the temple day or night, and they serve the Lord forever. And gee, you know, I've always been kind of thinking that I'd go kind of stir crazy getting stuck in one spot. And it sounds like that's not necessarily the case, that, you get these images in your mind about, you know, how things are and what they look like and, you know, the size and all this. And it was kind of interesting to hear that no matter where you are, you're pretty much having a good time.
Yeah. Yeah. Our flesh gets in the way when we think about, you know, I've thought about that too. Now, why would I want to stay? You know, be stuck up in there all the time. But it's a spiritual thing. And he says you can't imagine the happiness up there, you know, and the love that's up there. Because we don't get but just a little taste of it down here. Up there it's just all the time. Good gracious. I can't imagine. Yeah, Leah.
I thought it was interesting when he was talking about everybody had to go through a program teaching and learn new stuff and things like that. So that was pretty interesting. That'll be a further revelation of who God is and so forth. So that'll be interesting when we get there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and something else he said too during that, when you first get everybody that goes to heaven has to see the crucifixion of Christ. And the interviewer said something about what, you know, the word talks about there's no remorse up there, but then it would have to bring us remorse. He said, yeah. He said, but everybody has to go through it. It's a mysterious thing, you know. But, miss it.
Yeah, and he said, you know, you can see, you know, everything in the spiritual realm, you know, when the Lord was being crucified. There's something else I was going to mention. I forgot. Come back to me. There was something else I was going to say, and I can't remember what it was now.
Okay. Anybody else? Anybody? Yeah, Diane, go ahead.
Well, I was impressed with, like Leon was saying, about the teaching, the continual teaching. And yet there's still like I don't know if he called it a barrier or a wall or a level that you can't go beyond based upon what you attained while you were here on earth. And so it encouraged me that, you know, so many people were just sitting waiting to go to heaven for all this stuff, missing all these opportunities right now to get that 60-fold, 100-fold growth. So even though we will be able to learn even when we get there, there will still be a level where you will stop and you can't go beyond based upon what you attained while you were here on earth. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. The first level, he said, was like earth. And he said, in that level, that's where probably the 30-fold come up into there. And but he said, even at the 30-fold, even at that level there, there's just so much happiness, you know. People, they just love it, you know, and they want to attain to a higher level. They can go back and forth to those levels, but they have to stay in that particular level. And the way I like it, and I've heard some other people talking about how you can't go too much higher than where you are because of the glory of God would be higher the higher you go and would be stronger than it hurts, to put it in simple terms. It just hurts. But anyway, go ahead, Missy.
He said that when you first go to heaven, the river of water of life, I guess it is, you have to, like, you go in it and you like wash in it, but what it does is it washes away all the bad memories, I guess you could say, mental anguish, pain, or whatever you went through in this life or whatever, which I thought was really interesting. And then he also said that everybody has a film of their life, and and everybody at first is like, you know, when I'm like thinking along, I'm like, oh gosh, but his daughter says, but all the bad stuff is erased, all the sin, and all, you know, the film only has the good stuff, you know, of your life. So, because, you know, it says that all our sins are forgotten as far as the east is from the west, or something to that effect. But anyway, so yeah. Those things were cool.
Can you imagine that the crucifixion of Jesus and his life, how many hours that's going to be, you know, and everybody just be on the edge of their seats, and then yours comes up and it's about 5 seconds long. On mine. I put it on mine. About 5 seconds long. What was that? Oh, that was hair. Go ahead, Leah.
Missy, what Missy was saying about the film about your life and so forth, I remember a song by, oh, now I forgot her name, Amy Grant, where she talked about growing up and seeing a film of your life. And I thought to myself, that would be hell. That wouldn't be heaven. That would be hell if you had to watch all the things that you did that were wrong and so forth. But I'm glad he said it was just the good parts.
Amen. Yeah, it's just going to be the good parts. Yeah. Go ahead, Lisa.
You know how people have said that they've had like close calls with death and their life flashes before them? That just came to me. You know, it's like, yeah. So that resonates with me, you know, about your life. You know, there's a film of your life, except all the bad stuff is taken out. And usually when people say their life flashes before them, it's usually not a good thing, you know. So, but, you know, it's, you know, it's the Lord's mercy, you know, when you have that, you know, if you have that close call with death or whatever, and, you know, your life flashes before you, it's just like, to me, I've never had that experience, but I would think, you know, that would just cause you to go, you know, just gasp like, oh my gosh, you know, and just so appreciate that you didn't die, you know, and really cause you to repent. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine. You know, anyway.
Yeah, bye.
Hey, now that I'm thinking about some more things, he mentioned that, you know, and we talked about that briefly Saturday about how we were talking about what he remembered, and he said he remembered everything, being in heaven, all his experiences and everything, because he had, but here on earth he forgets a lot of things, a lot of earthly things. But he said the reason why is because you don't have anything hindering you in heaven anymore. Your thoughts are clear and you remember things. You don't have that things holding you back like you in heaven that you do here. So you here we have limited abilities in a lot of ways. Like I've mentioned it. I've had the problem where all of a sudden you forget something. Missy had it. Leon had it. You just in the middle of a conversation. Geez, it just, or if you forget somebody's name up there, that's all gone. I mean, you got clear head. There's nothing that's not ready available, and you don't have that problem anymore. Your mind is clear. You can think clearly. You have good thoughts. Nothing's holding you back anymore. But at the same time, everything we've understood, too, also, it doesn't mean you walk up there, and just because you have all this clarity doesn't mean you have all the knowledge yet. So we still have this that growth process to go through over there. And he talked about there being like a realm of heaven, a beginning realm of heaven, which resembles earth. For those that aren't accustomed to being away from the earth yet, and so they have to have something set up to make them feel comfortable in this new atmosphere, but it still resembles the earth. So they're playing with that, but they don't want you staying there. That's just a welcoming place. That's to make you kind of get your bearings, feel good about where you're at, move forward. It's all about moving forward. And no matter where you're at in heaven, it's still a process of moving forward. The mention of the glories, the higher glories. Even if you're at a glory level, you're still at a place where you're still moving forward. Does it? I'm not going to say for sure that they said you can move to a higher glory. I don't understand if that was said, but you're still at a place where you have to grow in the glory you're at. So that was interesting. So anyways, this is some thoughts I had on that. Can't see it. Kind of white. What was it, Michael? You're talking. We can't hear you.
I don't know why I do that. Yeah, I do. I got the mind of Christ. I got a mind like a steel trap. But anyway, it's an email from Hetrick House Ministries. I just received it. It says, greetings, Michael. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. If you are risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of the Lord. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Isn't that neat? I ordered a book. That's when they sent it to me. Pretty cool. All right, who had their hand up? Somebody had it. Missy, is that you?
Yeah, one thing we spoke about quite a bit on Saturday, and this might be what Michael's, I don't know, maybe this is what the thing that Michael was most impressed with, but it puzzled me at first, and I'm like, huh? You know, in heaven we have companions, and I don't even know if I can explain it, you know, whatever. But anyway, you go for it, Michael. because it really kind of made me go tilt.
Go ahead, Missy.
I'm sorry. I took it as, you know, kind of like, you know, it says that in the resurrection, you know, in heaven or whatever, there's no marriage and no giving in marriage and no marriage, and we're like the angels. But anyway, go ahead, Michael.
Yeah. And what he said was that word marriage that he was talking about there meant reproduction in the Greek. It means reproduction in the Greek, he said. And but he likened Adam, the companionship, as not two apples, but an apple cut in half. Adam and Eve's, when they were made, Adam was created, and then Eve became a part, who was a part of Adam, but from a right side rib that wraps around his, you know, and he brought that out, and they were one as a companion, as masculine and feminine. And he said, and this is what the part that struck me. He said, Adam so loved this woman. And he said, I'm trying to think of the word that he used. He used, he said that Adam desired Eve, desired her, and he couldn't live without her. And that's the reason that he partook of the evil thing. Now, he said, think of this, of Christ and the bride, the same thing. That Christ desires us to have that same relationship with Him, that companionship relationship with Him. And that's the same thing that God's going to do for us once we get to heaven. Once we get to heaven, if you haven't had a good marriage or have never been married or whatever it is, God's going to assign you a companion that's going to be perfectly adapted to you. God picked this person, this feminine person or masculine person out for you in heaven. But he also said this. He said at that time, back in 84, 85% of the people that were married in the United States were happily married. He said that was his research. Now, that could have been a small portion of people in his church or something. I don't know. But he said 15% were not satisfied. They weren't happily married. He said the ones that were happily married, they wanted to stay with their companion. God's not going to mess up a good thing. He's going to allow them to stay with their spouse in heaven. But if not, he's going to give you the perfect one. And so I thought that was, but he likened it, which was the major part of this whole discourse. And it started at 53 minutes and went to 102 or 104, something like that. He spent about quite a bit of time on it. But he likened it to Jesus and the bride, the love that God desires from us, the same way as the companionship that he's going to pick for you. He wants that. He desires our companionship. And I thought that was so amazing. And he talked about Esther, and he talked about the Song of Solomon and Ephesians 5 when he went through the Paul went through the man and the wife and the church and the bride. I mean, the bride and Jesus. So that was real telling to me. I really got a lot out of that. Yeah, Joe, let me get Joe first. Dave, he's had his hand up there a little bit.
Well, you pretty much, I guess, explained my question, but I guess it's, you said it, because the Greek word for marriage, it had to do with reproducing, is what you're saying?
That's technically what he said, yeah.
Okay, and so I guess, I forget, I mean, you know, we'll be just like the angels, so I assume, did he say anything like that, there's no need to reproduce because we'll be just like the angels? And I believe that's what the Bible teaches. The angels do not have that ability. It's only us humans.
They don't have that ability.
Okay.
We're not going to have that ability. We're not going to have that ability in heaven either.
Okay.
There's no need for reproduction in heaven.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was like, well, what's the need for it? You know, everybody who's supposed to be there will be there.
Okay. You're just going to have somebody you love to be around.
Okay. That's so it's like, full of, it's like a marriage. It's
full of Jesus.
I see.
Well,
oh, wow.
It's going to be, yeah, it's going to be a companion.
Interesting.
Amen. All right, who had their hand up? Dave, you go ahead.
I did get that book, too, but I got it as a Kindle book. So I can read a little bit from it, if you want.
Okay, yeah.
It says, here's a question. If there is no marriage in heaven, how do companions express love? It says, a biological spouse is not love. It is only an expression of love, as your question has said. But God had to make it in one of the physical intimacies on earth, this marriage, or the race would not continue. In heaven, there are seven intimacies, but they are spiritual, and any one of them would make the earthly relationship seem like a bad dream by comparison. And it says, eternal intimacies will be explained in the holy city where we'll be going, but the following is a brief introduction, and I'll just read some of this, not all of it. Spirits look like people, but two of them can occupy the same space at the same time and appear as one.
Mm-hmm.
It says,
that is why. Can I say something? Let me say something.
Go ahead.
If I can.
Yeah.
You know how there are people that you just relate with and you can carry on a decent conversation with them and feel at home with them? You just feel like you've known them and you want to talk to them all the time. Imagine that times 500 or 1,000. That's what it's going to be like in heaven. And those people that you enjoy being with might be them. You don't ever know, you know. Know what I'm saying? Go ahead, Dave.
It says, that is why soul and spirit can live in the same body.
Yeah.
They are being intimate with each other and with that body. The fear of death is proof that the souls and spirit are very delighted with the life in a body. And it says, for as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead, James 2:26. He says, covenant companions in heaven, those united by God, there's going to be united by God. We're going to be united with somebody in heaven. Could be our spouse now, could be somebody else, whoever God chooses for best for us. We'll live in spiritual glorified bodies. And so we'll also be able to occupy the same space at the same time because it's a spiritual glorified body. The masculine and the feminine. Okay, Michael's talking about the two apple halves, so you got them two together. The masculine and the feminine appearing as one glorified being, united as two voices singing one duet. There's nothing on earth that even compares to the lasting ecstasy of this intimacy. But he goes on, he says, God's spirit and my spirit are also delighted to be together as in my body. Because when I dedicated my life to God, I was so happy that for hours I could not speak for laughing. And this is a spiritual intimacy will continue forever in my glorified body in heaven. So he kind of gives you an idea about this intimacy that's going to happen and the abilities you have up there to do things that you, that was God's intent and how these things are made. So it's a whole different thing. We're walking into holy something different.
It's a different level of love, isn't it?
Well, he said our earthly love is like a bad dream compared to what
they got. Amen. Amen. Yeah, Missy.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing at myself. When you put the whole thing in perspective, it makes you, how do I want to say this? It makes you, I don't mean this to sound bad. It makes you not have that high expectations of what happens here. It makes you look forward to heaven, knowing that the Lord has the perfect for you there, you know? So yeah, set your mind on the things which are above, you know, it's like, okay, that just causes you, I mean, you know, I guess to kind of rest in your situation that you're in, knowing that the Lord has the epitome, the companionship of companion, you know, it's just the perfect thing waiting for you. And that's cool.
The underlying factor is Jesus. He's going to be the focus of both the companions. It's going to be Jesus. And because of that, Jesus' love goes, oh, Lord of God. Go ahead, Leah.
Well, I was just thinking that Paul may have had a glimpse of that or a thought about that when he was talking about marriage in Corinthians. And he said, I wish you were all like I am, which was single. And, you know, maybe he had a grasp on that as he was saying that. You know, he didn't forbid anybody to get married, but he said if you could endure it, you know, it'd be better for you not to be married because you could really serve the Lord like that. So just a thought I had.
Yeah, that's what he meant. He meant that your love would all be directed toward Jesus rather than a wife or a husband. Yeah, Missy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought about that earlier, that really what Dave shared there, you know, it really gives you a broader perspective, a broader understanding of what the Lord desires for his relationship with us, you know? I mean, it's like you said, it's that seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you, you know? And it just brings a greater light to that, greater understanding to that, you know, and what the Lord wants, you know, desires. That word desire, he used quite a bit, I believe. What he desires, and it's like, okay, you know, what just came to me is where is that in one of the Psalms? If you delight in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart, you know? So, yeah.
You got an alarm going off. Go ahead, Dave.
He has these six facts. He says, now consider these six facts. Number one, Jesus paid the supreme price to obtain a bride. Number two, when God made Eve for Adam, he instituted an eternal companionship because there was no death at the time. Number three, the masculine is not complete without the feminine because in Adam, they were created as one. Number four, every child born to Adam's race is only half of a perfect one. Number five, he says, love is external. Number six, every one of us, just like Jesus, desires an external companion. So he says, therefore, just as God made food for heavenly, for hungry bodies, and air for birds to fly in, so he has made paradise for sweethearts.
Amen. That sounds good. Go ahead, Andrew.
He also reminded us of Jesus on the cross when he got the spear in the side. And he said, y'all know that this cross, it's the where the blood gushed out and the water, and that's the blood of Jesus that washes our sins away. But that side right there can also remind you of where that rib was taken from Adam. And he shed that blood for his bride, for his saved people, you know, for his family, for all the saints, you know. And I just wanted to put that out there too, in case people will be listening.
Yeah, I remember that he said that blood when it came out was our life. It gave us new life in Christ. Well, just like that rib came out of Adam, that gave life to Eve too, out of his side. So,
amen. Yeah, Joe.
I was just thinking, is it just purely my thoughts when he says everybody has to go through the crucifixion of Christ? I think it's when we have a real idea of what was going on with Jesus, because we all get all kind of different ideas of love, our companion, and the love for Jesus. And it's get a real picture of what it was like for the Father and for His Son. I think maybe that's it.
Amen. Yeah, that's going to be devastating. Can you imagine Mary watching that? You know, watching her son go through all that garbage. That's awesome. It'd be a time of reflection when you get to heaven.
I bet she was happy when she seen him resurrected, though.
I bet she was, too. I bet she was, too. It was well worth it, wasn't it? It was well worth it. I'm glad he did it. That's the obedience he wants out of us, the obedience that he had toward the Father. That's his desire. His desire is for, that's why God set up heaven is for us. He didn't set it up for himself. He set it up for us so that we would have him as our companion, as our buddy. He's my bud. All right, anybody else? There's a lot more to that thing than just the love, but that's what stood out to me. And it just, I don't know, it just resonated with me. He talked about a lot more other stuff. Yeah, miss.
Can I read something about love that really impressed me?
Sure.
It was the very last day of June in Andrew Murray's devotional. And this just really, it just really impressed me. it says, to him be the glory. And it's Revelation 1:5-6 is the main verse he's using. Verses. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Some of my readers may feel that it is not easy to understand the lesson of the cross or to carry it out in their lives. Do not think of it as a heavy burden or yoke that you have to bear. Christ has said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Love makes everything easy. Do not think of your love for him, but of his great love for you, given through the Holy Spirit. Meditate on this day and night until you have the assurance that he loves you unspeakably. It is through the love of Christ on the cross that souls are drawn to him. We have here the answer as to what will enable us to love the fellowship of the crucified Jesus. It is nothing less than his love poured out through the continual inspiration of the Holy Spirit into the heart of every child of God. Unto him that loved us, be still, dear soul, and think what this everlasting love is that seeks to take possession of you and fill you with unspeakable joy, and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Is this not proof enough that he will never reject you, that you are precious in his sight, and that through the power of his blood you are well-pleasing to God, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father? He now preserves us by his power. He will strengthen us through his Spirit to reign as kings over sin and the world, and to appear as priests before God in intercession for others. O Christian, learn this wonderful song and repeat it until your heart is filled with love and joy and courage, and it turns to him in glad surrender. And it turns to him in glad surrender every day. Anyway, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Yes, to him who has loved me, has washed me from my sins in his own blood, and has made me a king and a priest. To him be the glory in all ages. Amen. That just so impacted me. That, yeah, because sometimes you're like, oh gosh, Lord, I don't love you enough. That's our works. But he's saying, focus on his love for you. And out of that, your love will grow for him. We love him because he first loved us, you know? But that just really impacted me.
Yeah. I don't think we even can fathom the love that God has for us. He gave his life for us, you know. He didn't have to. He said, I could have brought 12 legions of angels down here, scattered you all over this valley here, boy. But he didn't. And then he had to do this to love to get us up there. Go ahead, Dave.
I think one of the other things that's starting to impress me, or I'm just starting to get kind of a understanding a little bit more, and I want to do this. I got to get through that book. I got to read it myself. It's because I got the impression, and Andrew mentioned this also, kind of touched on a little bit. The actual, and Andrew Murray made a book on it called Absolute Surrender. And there's going to be this absolute surrender to God in heaven. And it's just how everything works is surrendering everything you've got to him and just being in total submission to his spirit. You know, that's absolute surrender. And everything that goes on in heaven is done by God's will. And you're in absolute surrender to that will. Understanding now what that all means and trying to get a deeper understanding. I mean, you kind of do in a way, but then again, when we leave here, we go do our thing. You know, we'll leave the conference call, I'll go to bed, again, go to work. You get your daily things you're going to do all day. You know, you're moving right along. You may have God in your mind here and there in the morning or whatever, how you do it, but still you're distracted with other things, you know, along the way. But there's going to be this absolute surrender of nothing but the awareness of God all the time, in around you and with you, and just everything's by God's will that happens. Everything is perfect, and we don't. Right now, we're kind of to get this cloud over us still a little bit. I think that when it'll be so nice to that all go away. Just wanted to mention that.
You did a good job. I could see in my mind how that's going to operate. It's just getting the old flesh to obey. Go ahead, Missy.
You know, Dave, I want to tell you, I read that book and not too long ago. And see, people read that title, Absolute Surrender, and they're like, ugh. That was me. I think most people read that and they think, oh my gosh, I could never do that. That's exactly right. You can't, but God does it in you. And that is the bottom line of the whole book is you surrender all your effort and you just ask God to do it. Because what have we heard so many times? It's God that works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. You just ask the Lord to do it, you know? And ask the Lord to fill you with the power of his spirit to overcome your flesh and your works. You know, it's really freeing, you know, it's like you get little revelations of dying to yourself and surrendering, you know, but really it's God that does it in you. I mean, you shall be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. And one time I mentioned that to someone, and they said, well, that's a high standard. I said, yeah, but it's God that does it in you. It's all by his power. We have the omnipotent God living within us, and it's all the power of his spirit. I mean, the God that spoke everything into being, that's our omnipotent God. That's our powerful God. And he did it like that. And if he created the whole universe and us and everything in just, my thought is just one breath of his speaking, because with God there's no time, then don't you think he can do that in you? He can create himself in you, manifest himself in you, you know, by the power of his spirit, because you know, breath is spirit and his speaking. So just believe everything that's written in his word. Just believe that it's already done. It's finished. You know, I mean, it's just like I'm getting myself excited. But anyway, so yeah, it's just like, oh, Lord, just give us a revelation every day of the power of you living in us, Lord, but the power of your spirit, and just not taking for granted and being filled with the power of your spirit every day to overcome this flesh, Lord. And your word is the spirit, and your word has power. When we read it, it changes us. It renews our minds. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We just thank you, Lord, and praise you, Lord, for your spirit, your word, and giving your life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, he mentioned some of that in the video. He mentioned, like, you would say, well, let's go to the river. And but it wasn't your idea. It was God's idea that put that in you. And when you walk, it's where God takes you when you go to heaven. You're supposed to be seated in heavenly places now. And he says it's not like you're walking. It's like you move gracefully, almost like floating, I guess, to get there. And because you're not going to get tired either. And so you learn things when you go for the slow walk, but there's also the instantaneous one. I want to be there, but it's already put into you before you get there, you know, and you instantaneously show up to that other place. And how do you learn things when you walk in heaven? Just by the surroundings, you know? And that's just amazing, you know? And how do you bring this down here for us right now to experience here on earth, you know? And, you know, I was thinking about the Mount of Transfiguration. There was Jesus there. There was Moses there. There was Elijah there. But now we know that we got to have John the Baptist there too, right? Because of Elijah. And then there was Peter, James, and John. You have to be on this mountain. You're supposed to get on this mountain. And there's correction on this mountain too. Because God the Father showed up and he surrounded everything by a cloud. And suddenly they only saw each other, Peter, James, and John. And God said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. You know? And of course, that's the teaching of Jesus and the opening of the ears, you know. And it's so amazing, you know, that God the Father is there on the mountain with you, counseling you to climb. And that's really neat. And Elijah's there too. And John the Baptist, we know he's there. Because he came in the spirit of Elijah. And there's going to be two witnesses.
Amen. Amen. Let me read you a little something out of some excerpts from that book. He said, many have questioned me about my visits to heaven, how I got there, and how they can get there. So here briefly is my understanding of how this works. The breath God breathed into Adam at creation was God's spirit. And Adam came to life as a body containing a soul, a spirit, and the Holy Spirit. These spirits will occupy the same space at the same time in a human body. Therefore, Adam appeared as one person. When I visit heaven, my spirit and an angel visible to me are carried by God's invisible spirit, while my body and soul, my physical nature, remain on earth. In order to hear the call of God's spirit, I spend much time in Bible study and prayer, watching and waiting. Psalms 130, verse 6. And that's what he's talking about. How you can get to heaven is a lot of study and a lot of praying and a lot of personal interaction with God. Boy, I tell you what, I enjoy talking about heaven. Ain't but one way to get there, folks. That's to love God. And what is it to love God? in the Bible. That's the obedience, isn't it? That's obedience. Praise the Lord. That is a big book. That's a huge book, it looks like. Yeah, baby.
What's the title of your book again? I want to make sure I got the same one.
This is just an excerpt that was on the site that I It's out of chapter 2, my first visit to heaven.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Inside the gates of heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
No, let's see. Is that the name of it? I don't know. Heaven's Gate or something like that, isn't it? I don't know. Whatever it is, I went ahead and ordered it and got it on the way. It's not that long, but it's from the excerpts that I got, it was which inspired me to go ahead and order the book. Okay, anybody else? Yeah, Joe.
What's the website you got it from? Is that his own, is that the ministry website or something like that?
Yeah, just type in Odin. Just type in Odin Hetrick. H-E-T-R-I-C-K.
Okay.
And it'll come up. It'll come up.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Anybody else? He's talking about the music, and did y'all remember when he talked about the music he heard in his mansion? He said, "I heard this music. It's beautiful music coming out of my in the mansion." And he looked around and he couldn't see anything. He heard it and he went over to where it came from. He said it was a water coming over and hitting some crystal, I believe he called it, jewels and crystals or something. And it was kind of like a music box, you know, how it goes ding, 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 you know, like it. But this was beautiful. Said it hit different tones, you know, and make a beautiful music in there. Can you imagine just being in your house and having all this cool Jesus music going on, you know? That'd be so awesome. You just sit there and sing with Jesus.
Can you say anything about needing batteries or power either?
No. No, you won't need a battery charger. Hey, listen, they won't need electricity up there either. You're going to have the light of God and the power of God everywhere. Just plug into Jesus, man. That's all you got to do. Praise God. Yeah, Andrew.
I like the way he said it's kind of hard to put things in English. And then the other guy said, no, to put in human, because it was hard. Every time he says, let's see how I can explain this, you know. Let's see if I can explain this to you. And he can tell he's trying to find the words for it, too. And I like hard to put things in human, because it's all spirit.
Paul said the same thing, didn't he? He's seen things and he didn't know how to explain it, but he didn't know the words would be a way to express what he saw.
Yeah, I wonder how many times he took a trip up there. He said, I know a man went up to heaven. I know not whether he went up in spirit or whether he went up there in body, but I know he went. That would be so awesome, man. Yeah, Leah.
Hey, do you remember his daughter spoke a little bit there? Mm-hmm. She was talking about a fountain. Do you remember what that was about? Because I can't seem to remember that part. I mean, I remember the part, but I don't remember what she was talking about. Wasn't the Holy Spirit in that fountain?
That was a fountain.
Yeah.
I don't remember. Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but now that you brought it up, I can't remember. Go ahead, Dave.
Wasn't it outside the temple of God where you worship God? And these are these fountains outside that temple. And it's the Spirit of God, of course. And Jesus was with her. And they played in that fountain water and everything else. I thought that was where it was at. I'm not sure.
It could be. I don't remember. Yeah. It's all good.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that show one more time, that movie. It's hard to pick up. This is probably my third time to go through it, maybe, but it's hard to pick it up all the way. You know.
Yeah.
Then later on, they were talking about all of the water systems hooked up. Stream at the beginning, and that music playing with the water rolling over the crystals, and the fountain was all part of that. It was all interconnected. It just went round and round. So that was at a later party. Talked about that.
He also talked about the different glories. Did y'all catch that? He talked about the different glories. He talked about the star glory and the moon glory and the sun glory. So he had some knowledge, Mr. Odin Hetrick. That sounds like a name from Kentucky, but he was from Pennsylvania, I think.
I haven't got through his book yet, but on the bottom, he's got a part three, is this outline of end time events. So it'd be interesting what he's got in there.
Oh, okay. End time events. It's going to be interesting, folks. It really is. I want to be right up and be a part of it. And there's only one way to do that, and that's to absolutely surrender. Absolutely surrender. Listen, Paul talked about a lot. He said, what you do in this age is nothing compared to what you're going to get in the next age because of what you do in this age. Now, that's just my way of paraphrasing it, but that's what he's talking about. If you give your life to Jesus 100%, and you're going to reap some benefits later with Jesus that you never thought possible in your life. We don't, you know, in our little finite, heaven to us is being happy, 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 happy right now. When you get close to God, we've had touches of the glory of God, you know, just a little bit of touch. And we think, oh, Lord, that's so awesome. You know, that's so awesome. When the glory comes down, it's going to be just like Paul did when he was on that donkey. And the glory of God knocked him off that donkey. It's going to be so glorified. And it's coming, and it's coming. So we need to be ready, right? Reading and studying, getting close to God, praying for each other. The Lord's been impressing on my heart a lot here lately just to be praying for folks. Just to be praying, not for yourself. Lord, have mercy. How many times I just get out there, oh, Lord, just murmured, griped, and did all of it. It's time to start praying for the people, you know. We need to be praying for Chad. That just came to my mind. In the name of Jesus right now, we come against those tormenting spirits on Chad. We bind them up and cast them off of him. Lord, we ask them, we pray, Lord, that you bring him to the point where he repent, come back to you. And Lord, we thank you for him, that he'll do what you want him to do rather than what he wants to do. And Father, I thank you for that. And I pray that for my daughter too. And I pray that for Blake too. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Just kind of reminded me right there. All right, anybody else?
Hello.
Hi, Gano.
Oh, this is Charity.
Oh, is that you, Charity?
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, girl.
Thanks for praying.
Okay.
Thanks for praying for Chad. Yeah, if you could pray for me for wisdom to know what to do. He's in Spokane, and he left the ranch. And last night he was on the streets, and he was calling me, you know, all night practically. You know, I mean, I hardly slept at all. And I just kind of felt like I had to be there to kind of be a lifeline, because he was like really desperate and ready just to call it quits. And so I was going to go today to pick him up, but I was just so wiped out. And anyway, there's a friend of a friend put him up in a motel tonight. But then tomorrow he has nowhere to go. So the friend of the friend, his name is Ronald, actually, he suggested that I pick him up. He said, I don't think he would know how to work the streets, savvy about a street life, how to survive on the streets. And he doesn't have, money or anything to stay anywhere. So I'm just really would like the mind of the Lord to know what to do, if I should, go there and get him and bring him home, or go there in faith. If I go, I have to go. I need to go in faith, believing, that God will work at something out there, or, perhaps in Oregon there's a place. But he's not really open to doing another program, another play, another. It was pretty structured and pretty intense where he was before. I mean, there was structure, but not as bad as some, not as much as some places. But for him, it seemed like a lot. So he's just very, he doesn't seem to want to try anything I suggest. So I did kind of lay down a few ground rules of what I'd like to see when he comes, like some things that that weren't good. I was kind of enabling him before, and that wasn't healthy for either of us. And so I just want wisdom, because I know God can make it different this time if he's to come home, or he can provide a place, maybe he'd be there for a while and then he provides somewhere else there, or if I'm just to leave him there and just trust the Lord to take care of him, but there, not knowing of anything that's available there, because where he was just wasn't. I don't think that would be a good place for him to go back. I don't want to get into the details, but it just wasn't a very well-run place. So I just would really like the mind of God just to really know for sure what to do, that I'm not just, because I hear different things from different people, but I just need the mind of Christ to, know what God is wanting me to do.
Okay, well, let's pray. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Charity to you. Lord, we know that you love her, and Lord, we ask and we pray that you guide her with your wisdom and your discernment, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give her the right decision. Lord, just place it in her to listen to you and to not listen to those spirits in Chad. And I thank you for it, mm-hmm. Father. I praise you, Father, mm-hmm. that you do have Chad in your hand. And he can't do anything other than what you want him to do. And Lord, I just ask and I pray that you give Charity clear instruction about Chad. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's just me, Lord, but I just don't believe that it's a good idea for him to come back to her place. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to do whatever she needs, that reassurance. I know she wants to do what's right. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to show her firmly what to do mm-hmm. in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Anybody else want to pray? Mm-hmm. I thank you, Lord, for putting charity in the rest that you so desire all of us to be in. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give her faith to believe what your word says. You promised to say this in Mark 11:24, when you pray and you believe what you pray, you shall have it. And Lord, that's what we believe. We believe that you're going to do a work in Chad. And charity is just going to rest in that knowledge. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. We believe in you. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Anybody else want to pray? Yeah, Missy.
Why don't we all pray in the spirit for the whole situation for Chad and Charity?
Sure. Oh, Lord, we just ask you pray through us for Chad and Charity, because we don't know everything. We just know what you want. And that you know what we need to pray for, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do for Chad and Charity. I thank you for putting Charity in rest. Give her a good night's sleep tonight. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Lord, I just pray that you would just give Charity your peace, which passes understanding, that it would rule her heart and mind through Christ Jesus, especially on the decision that you give to her to show her the way that she needs to go with Chad, in Jesus' name. Let your peace be in her, and that she'd be able to do whatever you want her to do, and she not be moved by anything, any evil spirits in any way, in Jesus' name.
Yep, we bind up any manipulating and control spirits on Chad too, right now, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Okay, Charity, it is done, girl.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for your prayers, everyone.
Okay. Praise the Lord. Yeah, Missy.
I just feel to say just a couple words to Charity. What just came to me was, Charity, you're not responsible for Chad. The Lord is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Okay. She's right.
Love you, Charity. Miss you.
Love you too. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you, Charity. Bless you.
Yep, bless you.
God bless you too. Thank you for the good news.
Fudge sick of saying amen.
Bruce goes hand up.
All right. Well, yeah, Barry, go ahead.
Just this isn't a thus saith the Lord, but I think that I would advise Charity to, last time she talks to Chad this evening, say, I'm turning my phone off. You know, count on the Lord to take care of Chad. There's nothing that really has to happen on the phone. And there has been a kind of a, like last night, being kept up all night by these calls that come in at all times of
the
night. And before you go to bed, say, turn my phone off. I'll turn it back on at this time in the morning. And give yourself, you know, let the Lord take care of him. There's not much you can do over the phone, and some of these calls are not real beneficial for either one of you. So that's not of us, saith the Lord. That's just my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. I was thinking of that tonight. You know, I thought, well, he's in a place to stay. Because on the street, I think he felt very, you know, he said it's like a cement jungle. It's just very, you know, nowhere to go. His feet were hurting. You know, his feet are hurting a lot. You know, he has things on his, sores on his feet. You know, his legs and his back. It's hard for him to walk a lot. The benches aren't really set up for where he can just lay down. There's just nothing for him to do downtown, I mean, at night. And he felt really, I think, kind of very restless and very tormented. And he just kept begging me on the phone to stay because he just felt like he was going berserk, you know. And that was the only way of kind of maintaining some sense of sanity. I feel like tonight he's, you know, in a safe place, and I was thinking of doing that. So that's a confirmation. Thank you, Barry. Appreciate it.
Amen. Amen. All right. Yes, Sue.
You know, I was just thinking about what she was saying about, you know, what he's dealing with. And I see how God's going to be able to turn it all around for the good for him, because how many of us know what it's like to be homeless? He's going to have that compassion for homeless people when he gets through this. I can see that. Lord's going to use him greatly when he gets through this. He's going to use him in a good way. Mm-hmm. I want to encourage you, Charity, for that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's nothing you can do, Charity. It's up to God. He's going to do it.
He's going to use that. He's going to use that to help other homeless people, because there's going to be a lot. And he's going to have that mm-hmm. compassion, like it says in 2 Corinthians, the Father of all compassion. He brings us, he puts us through a lot of stuff and sufferings for others. That's what kind of just mm-hmm. come to me. So, amen.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Lord, thank you. Thank you so much for helping Charity. We thank you so much for helping Chad. We thank you so much for giving us a good night's sleep, too, and give her a real good night's sleep and rest her up, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just ask and we pray that you go with us all tomorrow. Lead us and guide us and direct us and place that love that you have inside of us, Lord, that we would do nothing but just permeate that love from out of us, Lord, to the world. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do with us, in Jesus' name. And okay, folks, we're out of time. Bless you.
Good night.